welcome to Tea Time. This is a weekly pop culture podcast on the Ringer Podcast Network. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kaya McMullen, filling in for Kate Hallowell.
Woo! And I'm Amelia Wedemeyer, and today we're checking in with wildlife news. Mm-hmm. We're doing a whole reality TV special.
So much reality TV.
And we are also talking to basketball savant Kevin O'Connor.
Yeah! Woo! Okay, before we get into this episode, let's take a quick break.
There's no better feeling than a personal win, and the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
I have a secret.
Uh-huh.
I use Secret Whole Body Deodorant because more than just my armpits stink.
Oh, can I use it with my bra rubs under my...
Oh, yeah.
And what about down there? You know, my...
Totally. 4 out of 5 gynecologists would recommend it. So I tried it, and now I get 72 hours of freshness from my pits to my...
Ooh, I love that it's a spray.
Me too. And it comes in sticks and creams too. Go get your Secret Whole Body Deodorant.
All right, quickly at the top, Tea Time is checking in with wildlife news. Amelia, I think you have sourced almost 90% of these articles, but we're going to take turns talking about them.
Thank you, Kaya, for that.
Go ahead.
There is a bear roaming around the Olympics. I feel like this week has just been like bad piece of Olympics news after bad piece of Olympics news.
Heartbreaking.
They really just like can't catch a break. And then there was like this, they're playing this softball game. I guess softball's in the Olympics. And there's just been like this bear like roaming around the arena. And luckily, like, it hasn't interfered with any games, but, you know, they haven't been able to like scare it away. They've tried like firecrackers and like yelling at it, but this bear has been like not deterred. So, yeah, I mean, you know, the way the Olympics are going, there's probably going to be a bear attack. Honestly,
we've been talking about bears a lot on Tea Time. It's really funny. This first was feral hogs, and now it's bears.
Now it's bears.
There you go.
Okay, good to know. Good to know. Next one.
Next one. Football-sized goldfish are taking over. There's a lake in Burnsville, which is a suburb of Minneapolis, and they have a mall there, so I've been there.
Great.
And thank you. And it went viral after pictures of giant goldfish were posted to social media, and it's literally these goldfish, like, you know, those teeny goldfish that you buy, and they maybe, oh yeah, they're gonna live for a couple years. Well, these ones have been living for a long time because they're huge now.
Oh my
god. Yeah, I know. And people have been releasing their goldfish into this lake, and I guess this causes them to be an invasive species because these goldfish search for food. I know, on the bottom of these lakes, and they uproot plants and sediment, so they cause all this disturbance to this poor lake in Burnsville. And I didn't know goldfish could grow this large, but here we are. Also, my cousin, when she used to live in one of the suburbs of Minneapolis called Savage, which is, I guess, kind of by Burnsville. Anyway, there was a lake there with a little swimming beach. And apparently every year they would release goldfish in it so kids could catch goldfish. Huh. So I don't know if it's one of those situations. It's very strange. And I don't know what's going on other than these goldfish are becoming huge and they are disrupting lakes.
Wow.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow.
So
incredible. Next piece of wildlife news.
Okay. I just saw this morning. There is this video of a woman in New Jersey riding like an amusement park ride, and she goes and she's like, I think like going downhill or something, and it's just like a seagull just hits her in the face.
I'm sorry, this is not a woman. She's 13 years old.
Okay,
a young woman.
And it's like,
oh my god,
the seagull is like attached to her face for like a full 5 seconds until she literally grabs it by its neck and just like throws it off her.
What the hell?
And like, my reaction to seeing this is like, I'm surprised this doesn't happen like more often, honestly.
Yeah, that's true.
Because if we're just going to be like flinging ourselves into the air, where the birds live, then like obviously, and the birds don't know, you know, right. Like they could just be like going on their merry way, and then all of a sudden it's like, so yeah.
Seagulls aren't small. This is like really consumed this girl. We'll pull the photo.
It looks
up.
Like the seagull's like giving her a hug. Anyway.
Maybe that was its intention. Ooh. Okay. Next piece of wildlife news. This is important, you guys. It's PSA. Shark advocates are calling for rebranding, quote unquote, like attacks, shark attacks, as now, quote, interactions. Okay. This is coming from Australia. They're urging the public to refrain from using these words that have like such a negative connotation to it. And now it is like contributed to sharks being very stigmatized. And, you know, everyone thinks that they're going to attack everyone and perhaps they're really not. So they're calling to use like more neutral words like interactions. So, you know, it's trying to help improve the public's understanding of sharks and how they behave. Sure. So this article goes on to say only 13 shark-related human deaths happened last year worldwide. But then they call upon this professor, Nathan Hart, and he talks about the actual shark interactions. And he goes, sharks don't have hands, so if they want to explore something, they mouth it. Very rarely are humans consumed by sharks. And, like, okay. I was on board. Until, like, okay. It's a scary sentence.
I mean, the problem is with sharks in their mouths, they have a lot of teeth. So.
Exactly. Right. Even if they're just, like, exploring you with your mouth, they're still going to take off body parts sometimes.
And I would think getting your leg bit is probably, like, pretty negative experience for you.
That's traumatic. Well, it also reminds me of, do you remember when PETA was like, stop using anti-animal language? And so they were like, instead of kill two birds with one stone, say feed two birds with one scone. Like, it's just like, okay, we get it. But also these are, yes, it's a shark attack. I'm sorry.
I do get also movies like my personal favorite, The Meg. As in the megalodon, are also contributing to this negative perception of sharks. So it's a societal issue, and maybe we should start here. So
okay, let's address the Meg first before we talk about shark interactions.
Next one. So Amelia linked this article. It sounded like pretty innocuous. Why fish are becoming addicted to illegal drugs? Turns out it's kind of like goes more into like our nationwide opioid crisis and is very dark.
Sorry, I didn't realize. I just clicked on. I was like, a headline. Whoa.
Humans are excreting, you know, waste that has drugs and like methamphetamines in them. Mm. And then they go in the sewers and then the trout are consuming the water. So this is a very dark. So then to counteract this, I Googled positive fish news. And today, CNN tells me that a 100-pound tropical fish was discovered on a beach in Oregon.
I saw that. Wow.
So good news, bad news.
It's lovely.
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
And then last one.
Rounding
Amelia.
Out this category.
Finally, okay, Peppa Pig, as you know who Peppa is, obviously. She has been turning American children British. Can you see the Fox headline? Fox News headline?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Peppa is turning American children British. Well,
Peppa is unpatriotic.
Exactly. There was a Wall Street Journal piece about how American kids have been binge watching Peppa during the pandemic, which I get that because I've been binge watching a lot of crap during this pandemic. And what they're doing is imitating her British accent. And they've also been copying a lot of the words that she says. So like, mummy. And they talked to like one six-year-old girl from Rhode Island who spent last December, quote, insisting on the British holiday traditions of wearing a crown and baking mince pies for, quote, Father Christmas. Yeah, and it's funny because my cousin is in town this week, and so I've been hanging out with her kids, and they too love Peppa Pig. And apparently, I was asking her about this, and she was like, "Oh yeah, they say in their little British accents, they've been saying, Mommy, you're cheeky." And they're like from California. So like, yeah, I think it's
net positive. I don't see any negatives to this.
It's very sweet. So Peppa Pig, she's turning American kids into British.
Love it.
Ending on a positive note. Thank you, Amelia. next category. I know this is typically our mashup. I'm just going to go ahead and say it. This is all not worth the tea.
Yeah.
All of this news. It's pretty bad. But go ahead. You first, Amelia.
Okay. Noted cat murderer. Do you remember that? Jamie Lynn. Do you remember when she was killing her cats with her Tesla? And she was like bragging about it. Yeah.
She's just like, I keep running over my cats with my Tesla. Whoops.
She's like, girl, bitch. Yeah. So she is over here trying to switch up the narrative, saying that she's been quiet because that's what Brittany wants. And she's so close to her sister and she cares for Brittany so much. While it's like, No, Brittany has been shading you over Instagram. So recently, there was a post that read where Brittany posted, there's nothing worse than when the people closest to you who never showed up for you post things in regard to your situation, whatever it may be, and speak righteously for support. And it's like, she doesn't name Jamie Lynn, but it's very clear that it was Jamie Lynn or members of her family. And then in another post, like a day later, it's more explicit. And she says, Brittany says, I don't like that my sister showed up at an award show and performed my songs to remixes. My so-called support system hurt me deeply. And it's like, yes, thank you. And also it was accompanying an image that was really iconic. It was like, take me as I am or kiss my ass, eat shit and step on Legos. And I was like, yes, Brittany, my queen.
I love
and
it.
Me too. And it's so great that she finally, you know, isn't afraid to speak out. And it's awesome. And then also, to top this off, Jamie Lynn posted a photo of herself with the caption, may the peace of the Lord be with you and your spirit. And then soon after, Brittany, she seemed to respond with a post of her own on Instagram with the caption reading, may the Lord wrap your mean ass up in joy today. And, you know, Jamie Lynn changed the caption on her post. And it's just like, Jamie Lynn, you cannot rewrite this narrative. You go to jail.
It's so frustrating how she's trying to like act like a good like she's always been on Britney's side when like she clearly hasn't. And now it's just like now clearly that the public attention is on her, she's like, oh my we're like so close, blah blah blah. And it's like, no, you're not.
Exactly.
The thing also, people are keeping such a close eye on this. I'm surprised. Right. Like, even I feel like the Britney fans are just like under like they're investigating this under a microscope. Yes. It feels like she should just come clean, knowing that like her entire history is already out there.
Yeah, exactly. Just log off. Don't post. Yeah.
And it's also fucked up because she's saying like, I never took any of the conservator money, where it's like, it was just revealed that your little vacation home in Florida was bought by Britney's money. Also, the career you have, you would not have a career for your sister. So shut up and sit down, Jamie Lynn.
Yes.
So true.
Thank you.
Next one who potentially should shut up and sit down are the billionaires that insist on going to space all at once.
Right.
I hate this so much. We're not going to spend too much time talking about this.
Yeah.
Jeff Bezos blasted into space on Tuesday. He became the second billionaire in just over a week to ride his own spacecraft because freaking Richard Branson beat him by 9 days and went on a fucking flight to space. So you guys know how I feel about space.
Well, Liz, I've never agreed with your take more. We don't need to be going to space.
Agreed.
If this wasn't reason enough, if all my reasons before weren't enough, the fact that billionaires are taking joyrides up there as our earthly world is suffering is just a punch in the gut.
And it's like they're barely even going into space. They literally went into space for like a minute and like...
He's literally back.
The Jeff Bezos flight lasted 10 minutes and 10 seconds.
Get out of here, you faker!
It costs billions of dollars. You're going to spend billions of dollars to go to space for 1 minute?
It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable.
It's just like, you know what? I don't even count that as going to space, you fake bitch. I'm sorry. You need to like touch the moon, okay?
Exactly. Yeah. Leave that to the real astronauts.
Yeah, or it's like the joy rides. Like, don't do that. Go do something. Go down to fucking the ocean and find us a new home down there, because I'm going to be left here and everyone goes to Mars. Oh my God, also, it's so annoying.
Also, a story came out, I don't know if this was this week or last week, that apparently Ashton Kutcher bought a ticket to go on like the next one of Richard Branson's like flights, because they're gonna like keep doing this and like rich people are just gonna fucking like blast off to space, blah blah blah. And then Ashton Kutcher like bought a ticket and then Mila made him return it because she's like, you need to think of our children.
Yes. Good for her.
Yeah. Annoying. Also, lastly, and this is not worth the tea category, this one's shocking. So, the Devil Wears Prada cast is reuniting for a good cause. Technically, it's benefiting the Lollipop Theater Network, and they're auctioning off the very rare prize of Zooming with the cast of Devil Wears Prada, which includes Meryl Streep, Anne Hathaway, Emily Blunt, and Stanley Tucci. What more could you ask for?
That's a pretty good exactly group, I will
who
say.
I want to Zoom with. And it's benefiting the organization in its 20th year. So you can bid and win a Zoom session. My problem is that the Zoom session is only 10 minutes long. Like, I wouldn't even begin to speak until about 3 minutes in when I collect myself. Like, the fact that 10, that's pretty short, especially for a Zoom. It's no skin off your back. Make it at least a half hour.
I know. Agreed. Exactly. That's like literally you'd have time for introductions, maybe like two questions. The way people like talk over each other on Zoom, maybe like, and then it's
exactly. Who knows where these people are? Their connections are probably not amazing. Think about Kate every week on Tea Time and she's just in Indiana. Stanley Tucci's probably still in Italy. Like, it just, you got to think about the logistics of this event. Yeah. The only other thing I want to call out about this is that this isn't posted a lot. I've seen it on People, a couple other networks. Went to the actual Charity Buzz website. I swear this is wrong, but it's right. There's only one single bid on this event, which again, I can't compute. I think that's must be wrong, but there's one bid at $8,500 and that's it. And the estimated value is $50,000. So I don't know if maybe someone's going to come in at the last minute.
Probably Meryl will just be like,
seriously, I'll just chat with you guys myself. I know. So it's bizarre. I guess nobody wants to do this for 10 minutes, but if they're doing it for less.
$50,000 is like way too much to pay for this.
For 10 minutes, yes, 100%. Unless it's like, can I pitch Meryl my ideas or like what's going on here?
Yeah.
Right. Oh my gosh. Right. Yeah. Anyway, let's move on to our next category. It is something I think all of us at Tea Time are like legitimately screaming on the inside. The fact that we got this iconic guest on short notice, it was a miracle.
The biggest week of basketball, no less.
Truly. I want to introduce you to the Ringer's Renaissance, man. Kevin O'Connor can't be described in less than thousands of words. He is the co-host of The Mismatch with Chris Vernon. He appears on the Ringer NBA show. He appears on the Bill Simmons podcast at times. He writes for the website. He's an NBA draft guide expert. He goes live on Green Room all the time. Like, it's more, I think, applicable to say what Kevin doesn't do than he does, because he does so much.
He does.
Kevin, welcome.
And now I'm happy to be on Tea Time. Thank you for having me today.
Kevin, we brought you here today because, as you know, we called upon you, I think, last week to be like, Amelia dropped this NBA bomb at the end of the episode. Kate and I were absolutely drowning in our answers. You had no idea what to say. We called upon you to give your official statement. Now the finals are over. We want to just take this time now to like recap what will come after in terms of the celebrity world and also a little NBA world. So first of all, Kevin, your thoughts on the outcome of the NBA finals?
Well, I recorded a message last week saying, you know, Devin Booker has great balance in his life and the Phoenix Suns on and off the court. It's all going to come together for him and they're going to win it all. And I was dead wrong. About Devin Booker and the Phoenix Suns. It's okay.
Because honestly, it was my negative thinking that I think really took it over the edge. I sent out all those negative. I prayed to Satan herself. And I was like, no, not happening. Sorry.
It worked. And ultimately, like, all the good energy went to Giannis and the Bucks. He comes back from this major knee injury. Did you guys see the video of his knee, like, bending backwards? And then he comes back. Still an incredible player.
He's so sweet. I love him.
Yeah. He's amazing.
I really enjoyed watching the like live video of him ordering a 50-piece chicken nugget from Chick-fil-A. That's been great.
Yes.
He seems like a great guy. They deserved it.
Giannis, I'm like midway through reading. Our coworker, Miran Fader, has a book coming out on Giannis. Ooh. And I'm midway through reading it. And like what an unbelievable dude. Like his backstory. I think that book is the type of book that you don't have to care about basketball at all to enjoy that book, because it's a book about, you know, a great human with a great story and a great family. So yeah.
I did actually read the excerpt from it on theringer.com and I got through the whole thing and I care very little about basketball, but it was really compelling.
You love to see it.
Definitely check it out. Anyways.
Let me bring you back to Devin Booker. We mentioned him briefly. He's been on our Tea Time Collective Mind a lot because he's obviously dating Kendall Jenner. They recently celebrated 1 year together. They kept it under wraps. Now they're a little bit more public. They've been photographed a lot of Nobu dinners. I want to ask you about Devin Booker's celebrity ceiling because I feel as though there's a couple NBA players who, like, for example, Blake Griffin. I could not tell you what NBA team he had ever played on. Yet Blake Griffin is an A-list celebrity, in my opinion. Like, he's a household name. You see him. He is more
he
a celebrity
to me. He goes
to,
like, influencer dinners.
Yes, I was just, exactly.
And he used to date Kendall, too.
He did.
Oh, yeah.
So I want to ask you about Devin Booker's celebrity ceiling. Is he going to transfer over from NBA celebrity to, like, celebrity? Is he going to be at Nobu all the time now with Kendall? Is he going to be, like, a paparazzi darling with her? What's going to happen to Devin Booker now, Kevin?
I don't see it. I really don't see it because I think with Blake Griffin, he's funny. Like, Blake Griffin is straight up, like, a funny dude. Like, post-playing career, Blake Griffin, I think he could go the Michael Strahan route. Like, Blake Griffin could host TV shows.
I love that.
You know, like, I could see that. Devin Booker, he's more of like a hooper. He's a basketball player through and through, and that's what he does, and it's who he is, and, like, kind of defines him in some ways, right? So I don't know if I could see him necessarily going that route, but, like, anytime you're dating a celebrity like that, that must automatically raise your celebrity profile whether you want it or not, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, like, I don't know what his upside is necessarily as a celebrity. Like, I don't see the Blake Griffin route for him, but I'm sure he'll be appearing on, you know, gossip sites, TMZ, and all that more often, leaving LA restaurants.
Right. Based on his, like, post-game interviews and his presence in the NBA in general, does that seem like it's something he's interested in or no? It kind of sounds like no.
No, I mean, he's a very serious type of guy and, like, very focused at what he does, works really, really hard. Not, like, that's not to say Blake Griffin doesn't. It's just different
Blake
types
Griffin
of people.
Is lazy. You heard it here first.
No, I mean, we'll see, though. I mean, who knows? Like, have you been impressed by personality from what you've seen with Devin Booker? Do you see the upside?
Personality?
Well,
no personality? None of it?
But then you have Kendall Jenner, and no one's impressed with her personality either, not to be too mean.
That's,
so it's like,
that's true,
they
though.
Probably are very serious, and they have, you know, a lot behind closed doors. But yeah, she doesn't give a whole lot to the world. Personality-wise, either.
They both seem to take themselves very seriously. Yeah. So maybe that's why they work.
Does he have the looks for a celebrity, you think? Could he
he's
be,
cute.
You know?
I think he's really cute. Yeah.
He tries on the fashion side of things. So yeah.
He does.
Changes it up for sure. Yeah. Could see that in those playoffs.
A follow-up question. How many years left do you think he has in the NBA? Like, will he, like, I guess
he's crashing and burning.
Will he have to merge into the celebrity world if he can, or will he have to date Kendall for 10 more years before he has to face just being a celebrity?
Yeah, I think they're going to have to date for a long time now because Devin Booker is, I think, only 24 years old.
Oh,
only
God.
24. So he's probably not even done getting better as a basketball player.
Oh, good for him.
Before he can get better as a celebrity. So
he
could have 10 plus years left, maybe even, you know, 12, 13 years left in the NBA.
Oh, good
could
for
be
him.
A while.
Can I ask you one more thing? And then we have other questions, I swear. But I'm just more, now that we're all talking about it, I'm so curious. So Devin Booker plays for the Suns. Phoenix, right? And Devin Booker presumably lives in Phoenix for some amount of the year during the training and season. I guess I'm just curious at Kendall Jenner's presence in Phoenix. Like, do you see her there or can he travel enough where he doesn't actually live in Phoenix, even though he plays for that team?
It's a good question. I mean, we have so many services these days, like JetSuite X, right?
So true, Kevin.
I'm sure, like, the Jenners, that's, like, low for them. That'd be coach for them, JetSuite X. They have their own plane, right?
What is the flight from Phoenix to LA like? That's, like, couldn't be
that's
more.
Short,
than,
right?
Sure.
It's pretty short, I think. Yeah.
It's got to be under an hour or maybe just over. So it's doable. It's doable for them to have a relationship traveling back and forth.
Okay.
I can see it.
Okay. I have next set of questions for you. And this is about Lamar and Tristan.
I love this. Mm.
Household names. I don't know if you saw this making the celebrity rounds, Kev, a couple weeks ago. It was actually only 1 week ago. Khloe Kardashian posts a thirst trap on Instagram. It's just her showering in a little bikini. Okay. She posts it there.
Yeah, as you
As you do. Lamar Odom comments on this and says, hottie, with a bunch of flame emojis, heart emojis, all this other stuff. Then Real Tristan 13 comments and says two hearts and then two drooling emojis. Okay. Real Tristan 13 sees Lamar Odom's comment and writes, and I quote, "God brought you back the first time. Play if you want, different results," and then two shrug emojis. Can you comment on this budding feud over Khloe Kardashian?
I mean, you don't want to mess with Tristan Thompson. He has the memory of an elephant. So in that sense,
why do you
like,
say that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Lamar Odom has to be cautious here, I suppose.
Oh, but, Lamar but, was just being nice.
But ultimately, these are two, you know, Tristan Thompson, current NBA player, nearly 7 feet tall. I would not want to see them in the ring. You know, if it comes to that, we've seen all these celebrity, you know, boxing matches. I hope it doesn't come to that someday.
Well, Lamar did kick Aaron Carter's ass recently.
That's right.
What? What are you talking about?
That seems like a natural next step of this, doesn't it?
No.
Yes. He kicked Aaron Carter's ass and Wendy Williams was like, I don't know what's going to happen. And he was like, Wendy, shut the fuck up, girl. Like, no, I will kick his ass. And then he did. He almost killed Aaron Carter.
Wait, why? Why did this happen? Was this
a celebrity boxing match, I think.
Oh, okay.
That was like last month, I think, right?
Yeah, it was
May
recent.
Or June,
yeah.
Something like that. Yeah. I mean, hopefully it doesn't come to that, but we'll see. We'll see what happens.
Who between them has the better basketball career?
Oh.
Lamar Odom had the better peak. Like, he was the better player at his best. But Tristan Thompson was a key rotation player on a LeBron James team that won a championship.
Sure.
So, it's different types of, you know, careers they've had. Lamar Odom, the better overall player, though. He was great. He would have been really good in today's league, too. But, you know.
Well, I think also he's, like, nice because he's just being nice to her. And then Tristan, it's like, Tristan, you have cheated on Khloe upwards of 1,000 times.
Right.
So calm the fuck down, dude. Right. Yeah. Also, you don't own her. Shut the fuck up, you little bitch.
Yeah, I agree.
It's like two exes feuding it out. It's kind of an ideal comment section, you know?
Yeah.
One thing I've always wondered about since I was in high school.
Oh.
So I've never been somebody who dates that much. I just, I just don't date that much.
I get it, man.
But like I've always wondered, why do people throw themselves into drama-fueled relationships? Like, you're just throwing yourself into it? I mean, why? Like,
some people
I don't
like
know.
That's
why?
A great question. Is they the love thrill? Drama. They're
is
addicted
it the
to drama.
Is the roller coaster ride? Like, you know, when you're in that relationship, because it's fun to watch. It's fun to talk about other relationships.
Fun.
Very fun. That's why this podcast is great. But being in a relationship, being
a
in
podcast.
It, being in it though, I don't know why people do that to themselves. I don't know why.
Yeah, both those relationships are very messy for Khloe Kardashian. The Tristan Thompson thing, it feels like she can't shake them. Like, I think they're going to get back together even after
sure
the second
will.
Round of cheating.
Mm-hmm. Love yourself, Khloe.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, fine. One more question and then I'm going to hand it over to Kaya. Who is the next generation of NBA players turned A-list celebrities? We talked a little bit about Devin Booker. Doesn't seem like he's one of those. But, like, who is the next round that tee time inevitably it will, like, enter our brains coming from the NBA but turn just real-life celebrities we talk about?
That's a good question. So, like, you need to have somebody who's funny, good-looking, also a good player. But then again, like, you could be a rotation player. Tristan Thompson has shown the path. You know, Chris Humphreys years ago had his time.
Forget.
Right?
From Minnesota. Yeah.
Yes. You don't need to be a star level talent to be a celebrity. Like, it's been proven.
Chris Humphreys, Hopkins, and same with Paige, what's her face? Hopkins. They're known as really good basketball players here. So I just want to, they were in the same conference as I was, but I just, it's okay. Thank you. That's just my two cents.
How about Donovan Mitchell? From the Utah Jazz. I don't know. I'm just throwing a name out there. Donovan Mitchell from the Utah Jazz or Ja Morant from the Memphis Grizzlies. I'm just thinking of young point guards, who are really good and really young.
Yeah.
But it's hard to know.
What about Carl Anthony Towns?
Carl Anthony.
Well, he's dating
Jordan.
Jordan.
Woods. Yeah.
Who's he dating?
He's dating Jordan Woods, the one that got engulfed in the drama, the Kardashian drama. Remember last year, Kev? She made out with, what's his name?
Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson. Yeah, yeah.
Did you follow that feud, Kev?
I saw like tweets and all that about it, but I wasn't all the way in.
All right, hand in hand.
Interesting.
With this question, who from the Bucks has the most potential to become an A-list celeb?
It's got to be Giannis. I mean, it has to be Giannis because He has like the number two selling jersey in the NBA. So he has global appeal.
Wow.
Right? Like people know the name Giannis. Yeah. He's an NBA champion now. And also, as you've seen with like the videos and all that, just a great personality.
He's so lovable.
Yeah. So the problem with Giannis is that he has a long-term pregnant girlfriend, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I feel like to transfer over from being a basketball star to an A-list celebrity, you have to be able to date A-list celebrities.
True. True.
Good point, Kaya. Is there anyone single on the Bucks that you want to set up with a celebrity, Kev?
I mean, I'm just like thinking of through my head, Drew Holiday's married to Lauren Holiday.
Soccer.
I believe a lot
what
of the
about
players
PJ
are
Tucker?
Married. Huh. I don't know about PJ Tucker if he's in a relationship. A little bit on the older side, like he's in his mid late 30s. He's running out of time to get an A-list celebrity. I don't know. Maybe it's like random player. Maybe it's like Bryn Forbes, like a shooter off the bench.
Don't
know who that is, but
you're
cool.
Right. You're right though, Kaya. Like for Giannis, he's in a relationship. He already has a child, another on the way.
Yeah.
He focuses on the task at hand. He's laser focused on the NBA and all that.
Yeah.
I don't know if he would be willing to even go the route of like being an actor, like going the acting route.
Because
that's the other pathway
to
do
that.
It would be fun to watch.
He's cute.
Yeah, it feels like he's too
cute.
Kind and too on the path.
So
we need someone like a little messier,
messy, yeah.
In the comments of celebrities fighting over their ex-girlfriend.
Okay. It's true.
Interesting answer.
Also, I want to know, have you been watching The Bachelorette this season?
Yes.
And two, what are your thoughts on the current season of The Bachelorette?
I'm enjoying it. I mean, I wouldn't say I love the season at all.
Sure,
I don't think I dislike the season by any means. It's been enjoyable. I think she has a pretty solid group of dudes. I was disappointed to see Andrew get let go. I really like Andrew.
He
seems like a good dude.
He does. Who do you want her to end up with in the end?
I mean, I really, really like Michael A, but I just don't know I don't know if they're the best fit though.
I
don't know if they're the best fit, and that's tough there. And of the others, Greg,
it's fine. He's fine. He's an actor,
he's okay. Is he really an actor?
He has like an IMDb page. Yeah, it's suspicious.
Make fun of him for like the puppy eyes? Weeks back. She said, "You always look sad," or something like that.
He always looks sad. Yeah. Sad. It's like, aren't you happy to be here, man?
Also, he's like a little possessive. Yeah.
Yeah, he is. I noticed that too. I'm glad Connor's gone, long gone.
I'm so glad you hate Connor.
Not a Connor fan. Too cheesy. No.
Thank you.
I like a good dad joke. One of my best friends has the best dad jokes. My friend Dano, shout out to him. But Connors were just not funny. They just weren't funny.
No, totally.
And the ukulele? No.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God, so who did I not say?
Of the
Blake,
top four.
Blake. Is that the only one I didn't mention there?
Blake and Justin. Blake but and like Justin is canceled because he's not a good person.
Yeah, and he seemed kind of, he was the surprise pick there.
He was, it should have been Andrew. Yeah. I agree. Yeah.
Is it possible that it's nobody? Like, is that possible when she goes back to Andrew? Did they hint at that? And for what it's worth, I have not read any spoilers. I avoid it like the plague. I just don't look at it. But
me too.
I don't know. I feel like maybe they planted that seed with the letter and her running down the stairs and.
I feel like they were setting Andrew up to be the next Bachelor with that.
Yeah, I could see
that.
Because
he got a full 10-minute goodbye.
It's true. But I think Michael A has secured the Bachelor spot.
Yeah.
People love him.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah. Well, and also Andrew had some questionable tweets come out. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Damn it. Yeah.
Kev, how many more seasons of The Bachelor you think you have in you? I have teetered out. As you can tell, I've been silent this entire time. I stopped after two episodes. I found it way too boring. Think I might be done. When do you think you'll be done?
They gotta inject some creativity in these dates.
They do.
Yeah, they do.
They really do. Like they're just reusing these old ones that we've seen before. Like how many times are we gonna see like a tantric, massage person coming? I mean, give us something
it's true,
new.
It's true.
Like,
true.
Let's, Why do they have to do the wedding? Why a wedding photo shoot?
Literally shot for shot. Yeah.
Like, I don't get it. Why not have them dress up like in, I don't know, like be a cowboy? Like just do something like you do on Halloween, you know? Mm-hmm. Do something like theme of the year.
It's getting stale.
The lack of creativity is that's not just because they're stuck on a resort either.
No, you're so right.
It's because they know they're going to make the money anyway. So why put all the effort into it? It's kind of a joke. I think it's kind of pathetic how they reuse all the dates.
Yeah.
Agreed.
But Liz, I'm going to keep going because it's a show that I love to watch with my mom.
Will you be watching Bachelor in Paradise? Yes.
My mom doesn't like that as much, so that's a show I watch for me.
That's a preeminent series for me, but okay, yeah. I respect it. Yeah. Also, okay, which current / recently retired NBA player would make a good bachelor, in your opinion?
Currently or recently retired. I don't know. Like who's a single NBA player that retired? I'm not sure off the top of my head.
Or current.
So if we're going current, how about, like, do we want somebody funny?
Yes, of course.
Good looking?
Yes. Obviously.
Yeah.
What if they're not, like, you know, Brad Pitt? Is that
okay? That's okay. That's fine.
Did you see Ari? Well,
So true, Liz.
Because I have no idea if he is in a relationship or not. If he is, you know, sorry. Nikola Jokic from the Denver Nuggets.
He had a blow up, right?
Not really.
No, not as
no, he's still ugly. No, I'm kidding.
But I have Jokic, so much Googling to do after this.
I don't know who that is, but cool.
Jokic is just so funny. I would just love to see him in this situation. Like, plugging Jokic into the Bachelor universe could create a bunch of hilarity. Yes. That's the name that comes to mind.
Cool. Okay.
I love that.
This was great. This was so satisfying. I feel like we got all the answers we really needed.
Truly.
Kev, I could talk to you for a million hours. Thank you so much for joining us. We're honored.
Yes. Thank you.
It was truly a pleasure.
Thank you. Thank you. I enjoyed this. This was fun.
Thank you so much to Kevin. Let's keep the reality TV conversation going. We have to take advantage while Kate is out on vacation. We have to get our reality TV thoughts out while we can. So I'm going to hand it over back to Kai and Amelia to continue their Bachelor thoughts.
Yes. Thank you, Liz. I know you're not watching. I'm sad for you. Are you going to be watching Bachelor in Paradise, though?
Absolutely.
What about Michelle's season?
Thank God.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay, I'm really excited.
Thank God.
That one.
Me too.
And she's going to film part of it in Minnesota.
I know.
Oh, Amelia.
Okay. Yes. My friend was like, you need to go. And I was like, I will try. But,
oh my God, that would be so fun.
If I stalked her I'm obsessed with her. I think she's amazing. But,
this current season,
it's tough.
It's just boring.
It's really boring. And the thing is I've only really liked one episode, which is like the previous episode. I thought that was like a fun episode, but everything else I've been like, here's the thing, and I've been criticized for being too mean about Katie, but like the only thing I've said is like, she's just not that compelling to me.
No.
You know?
She's just not a compelling lead. Like, she's a fine person. Exactly. Honestly, I think she would be like a fun person to hang out with.
Totally.
Like, and Juliet says this often, like, if I want to be friends with you in real life, you're probably not great reality television.
Right. You're too good to be on reality TV.
And yeah, totally. You know, she seems like pretty like set on what she wants. So, I mean, we'll see what happens with these last like few episodes. But
I'm scared.
It's just pretty clear to me that she's like very into Greg. And,
yes, and Blake.
And Blake. I mean, how is Blake in the final four? Like, how?
Thank you. Exactly. And also the fact that she let go of Thomas because he was like, I'm thinking about, you know, I thought about The Bachelor. If you're not thinking about that, then get out of the fucking show, because like, you need to be thinking that way.
You don't
and
think
if you're
Blake
not,
is thinking about being The Bachelor. This is his second time on the show.
Exactly. So it's just like, it's so disingenuous to me that she's like, okay, bye with you, but okay with Blake. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, Liz, you watched Tayshia's season, right? So you remember Blake.
Yeah, it's like, what? Although I think Blake came back within the first three episodes that I did watch of this season. And I found it very endearing when she woke him up in the middle of the night to tell him that she wanted him to stay. Do you remember this? And he was I'm in my underwear. Hold on. And like came out. I was all blurry eyed. But that's all I remember about Blake, to be honest.
Okay. Well, that's probably a good thing because
he's fine.
he's fine. And it's just like, you're not that smart, which is fine. I'm not to be mean to dumb people, but like, he just is not, he's also not compelling. It's just like, he's there. He's literally just there. And I don't care.
Yeah. Just, there's not a lot of personality happening. You know, like no one has a big personality.
We're like good TV personality. It sounds like from what you guys are saying, we're watching like a real life like romance and dating story play out, which is interesting to yourself when it happens to you, but like not inherently interesting to the greater world at large.
Exactly.
It sounds like her and Greg could have just like met on Hinge and then just like dated and then gone.
Literally, yes. Right. Like literally. Like Greg, I see all of these like thirst TikToks about Greg and I'm just like, this guy is completely average looking. Like,
choices.
Just is not very good TV, I think.
No.
When I stopped watching.
I'm really missing the travel. Like, because at least with travel, you can like manufacture some drama. Like, someone can get like hurt themselves on a bungee jumping date. Or, like, we haven't even gotten a fake ambulance. Like, scene.
So true.
Like, very least.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Well, we'll see how this wraps up. I will tune back in whenever Paradise comes back.
It's soon, baby.
I know you have more bones to pick with reality TV. Go ahead.
I just feel like Netflix needs to step up their reality TV game. Because in the past like year or so, when The Bachelor has faltered, Netflix has been there with really good reality TV, like Selling Sunset, Love is Blind. First season of Too Hot to Handle was good. First season of Dating Around was good. And now it's just gotten like really kind of boring. I mean, I haven't watched the second season of Too Hot to Handle. If people were like talking about it and being like, oh my God, this is so like good, then maybe I would tune in. But it seems like no one's watching it. And then there is Sexy Beasts, which Liz and I, for research, watched a few episodes of.
Yes, we talked about it on the pod a couple weeks ago when it first, the trailer went live and we were like, oh my God, this is so scary. The dolphin has an actual blowhole. This is like legitimate costume makeup and all that. Yeah, Kaya, what'd you think?
Right. Okay, so just to go over the premise briefly, it's like a regular dating show, except everyone is wearing like really elaborate, like not even animal costumes, like just a really elaborate like face makeup. And so basically each episode, there's one person who goes on three dates with like three guys. And then they choose from the three guys who they want. And they're all in like elaborate costume. And then basically it's sort of like a Bachelor setup where she goes on three speed dates and then chooses from that two guys she wants to keep, she wants to do longer dates with. And then one by one, their like faces get revealed until the person she like picks. I don't know what like picking them for. Like, I guess just to like keep dating or something. That's not clear. They all reveal themselves. And it is nightmare fuel, these costumes.
Yes, it is. Claire McNear yesterday wrote on the site, Netflix's Sexy Beasts is as unsettling as you'd expect. And that's basically, it sums it up. It's a haunting experience. Although the best hook is obviously, I always stick around to see those faces. That's why I ended up watching five episodes last night. Because I was like, I just want to know what they all look like.
Yeah. And I mean, like my problem mainly with the show is like the narration. Basically, the entire show is being like, this is disgusting. Why are you watching this? And they literally, the first episode, they were for one of the dates, they do an extended like foot massage scene of these people in costume. And it's like, why? Like, are you trying to like gross me out enough to the point where I just want to turn this off?
Yeah, my favorite part is when they try to kiss on the dates and the guy's got like enormous beaver teeth and then the other one has like feathers in her mouth and they're like,
Also, like, they're going on these dates and every single person, they're, like, going to bars and every other person in the bar is just, like, a normal, like, dressed normally.
No.
It's truly bizarre. This is why this is a reality TV category and not, like, streaming wrecks, because I genuinely wouldn't recommend this show to anyone unless you're, like, that desperate.
But I was going to say...
Oh, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, like, I am usually into, like, give me the trashier, the better. Like, I will watch anything. Obviously, like, I watch The Masked Singer, but... Even this, I'm like, I can't do it.
It's too far.
It's too far.
It's just like, it's just bad.
I hear your complaints, Kaya. I really do. But I have a solution for you.
Okay.
Because there is a Netflix reality show now out called My Unorthodox Life. And I think it will fill the reality TV sized hole that you're experiencing right now. Okay. I have a Selling Sunset sized hole in my heart.
Me too. I don't
know when season 4 is coming back.
Where is it?
Chrishell keeps posting that they're filming, and I'm like, guys, cut the tape. I don't care. Don't have to edit it. Just send me the files. But My Unorthodox Life has just come out. It's 9 episodes. It's a reality TV show about Julia Hart and her family. Mm-hmm. And it's about Julia Hart kind of fleeing and exiting from this ultra-Orthodox Jewish community in New York. It actually catches her years later. She has this very successful career. She's like co-owner, chief executive, Elite World Group, which is this modeling conglomerate. She has a very glitz and glam life. She wears like 9-inch heels, this enormous rock. She's since remarried to this billionaire guy. But it primarily follows her and then her 4 children who are all in different stages of exiting out of this like, ultra-Orthodox world. Some are still, her youngest 14-year-old, still very much in it because he kind of spends time with both his father, who's still in that community, and his mom, Julia, who's like very out there. And then all the other siblings are just, in different stages of like grappling with this world and embracing it. It's fascinating. Sure. It's so glamorous.
Really interesting.
They're like in head-to-toe Fendi and Dior matching suit. They live in these most amazing, immaculate apartments in New York. It's like Kardashians, but it's like a little bit smarter and you learn more.
I like that.
Interesting. All right. Yeah, you sent the trailer over for this and I watched it and I'm really intrigued and I think I'll check it out. So thank you, Liz, for helping to redeem Netflix for me.
You're welcome. One other thing I want to say before I move on is as you watch that, if you do or anyone listening, there's a large discussion happening on the flip side of this after this came out from the Orthodox Jewish community. So I'd encourage you to read. There's this great Glamour piece by Jenny Singer. Title is My Unorthodox Life is Compelling TV That Could Potentially Make Life Harder for Some Jews. So I think it's important to contextualize the show.
Sure.
I watch it for the entertainment value and this like basically family that reminds you of the Kardashians.
Yeah.
But I think it's important to like read about kind of some of the messaging that's in the TV show. They obviously, Julia Hart is like very past her Orthodox roots. So it's just good to read on the side to like put it in context and that there's two sides to obviously everything.
Okay.
So that's what I'll say.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So I watched 2 full episodes of the Celebrity Dating Game.
Woo!
Don't ask me why.
What is that now? Like, what?
It premiered right after The Bachelorette, though, so I get it.
Oh, is it on ABC? I didn't even know. I don't even know how this like came in.
That's why I thought you were watching it because it's like right after The Bachelorette. My dad's always like, leave the channel! And I'm like, okay.
So the Celebrity Dating Game is hosted by Zooey Deschanel, Tuff, and also sort of like Michael Bolton, though he like doesn't really do anything except like sing one song in the episode. And like, so Zooey Deschanel is like carrying most of the like hosting duties. And so basically what happens is they have like, I would say the level of celebrity is like honestly a step down from Masked Singer, which is like really saying something.
God.
So they have the 2 episodes I watched, the 2 celebrities that were involved was Gabriel Iglesias, who's a comedian known as Fluffy. And the kid from Modern Family.
Nolan Gould.
Oh my God. Yes, Liz, actually.
I'm on the ABC website looking at these season 1 episodes.
I didn't even bother to look his name up, so thank you for that. And then they get 3 like either women or men, depending on the gender of the celebrity, and they have like a wall in between them so they can't like see the like 3 contestants. They're just like normal people. They don't know who the celebrity is. And then the celebrity doesn't know what the 3 contestants look like. And they kind of just like go through the celebrity, like ask the contestants questions. Like one of them was like, what would you do with a banana? Do you consider yourself like bossy? It's very strange.
I can't deal with that.
And then that kind of goes on for 15 minutes. And then Michael Bolton comes in and his role is to write a song about the celebrity and sing it so that way the contestants can like try to guess who the celebrity is.
get out of my fucking face, Michael Bolton. Oh my
God.
Like, no.
Then their contestants are asked to guess who the celebrity is. And for the Gabriel Iglesias one, this one woman guessed Pauly D like 3 times. And it's like, wouldn't stop guessing Pauly D.
The heart wants what the heart wants.
And that's about it. Then the celebrity chooses Yikes. Out of the 3 contestants, like which one he wants to like date, I guess. And then they're like all revealed. So it's kind of basically like Sexy Beasts minus the scary costumes plus a D-list celebrity.
Wow. Amelia, season 1, episode 3, I'm on this website, is Taye Diggs and Demi Burnett.
Oh,
from Bachelor Universe. No.
I think they were promoting like Hannah, Bachelorette Hannah on the show as well.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
Wow. Yeah. So I guess this will become like a big Bachelorette. It's like,
yeah, because it's like ABC property. So there's right. like ABC. Yeah. Just okay.
Slot them in there. Just like,
right. I always see Rob Mills, who's the, I think he's the VP of alternative programs. So like right. reality show programming. Yeah. And, you know, he obviously does all the Bachelor stuff, but then he's always like, yes, and we've got some new celebrities on the Celebrity Dating. I'm like, okay, Rob, we get it. I love you, but we get it. You know?
Yeah.
Oh,
it's
God.
Not the worst thing I've ever seen. I really? Would say on a scale between Sexy Beasts being the worst and I guess Below Deck Sailing Yacht being the best reality TV show I'm watching right now, I would say Celebrity Dating Games goes like right above Sexy Beasts.
Okay.
Okay. Bars
where,
low.
Where like the premise is kind of fun at first, but it gets tiring like really quickly.
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Moving along, Amelia, I know you actually have some reality news you want to discuss.
Yes, I'm pretty excited about this. Today, my friend texted me saying, VH1 is rebooting The Surreal Life. And I was like, yes. And of course, Andrew Granadaro, who is an editor at theringer.com, also slacked me this. And I was like, I'm so glad we're on the same page, Andrew, because VH1 is rebooting The Surreal Life, which I don't know if you guys have ever watched The Surreal Life. No,
I haven't.
Well, it pretty much spawned all of the VH1 celeb reality series. So like if you're a fan of For the Love of Ray J or Rock of Love or Flavor of Love, like it started Flavor of Love because originally The Surreal Life had Brigitte Nielsen and Flava Flav. Okay. And then they had their own show called Strange Love, and then they broke up. So that's why Flavor Flav had Flavor of Love. And then from there were so many other dating shows, et cetera, et cetera. Don't ask me how I know this, but anyway, I'm really excited. So the Hollywood Reporter came out with a cast list for the reboot.
Okay.
And okay, the cast includes Frankie Muniz, Malcolm in the Middle, Stormy Daniels, Dennis Rodman, August Alsina. Do you remember him? He's the guy who had the affair with Jada Pinkett Smith.
Oh my God.
Tamar Braxton. There are more. I am like, yes, sign me up. I'm so excited.
This really does sound right up your alley.
Frankie Muniz was once so mean to me at a Houston's when I was like 11. I hate that man.
Oh my God. This is brand new information. Oh my God.
I asked him for an autograph and he was a total dick about it. I was eating dinner with my family. Anyway, refused to watch this show on principle. Wow. I am happy for you, Amelia.
Okay, thanks. Well, if it makes you feel any better, I mean, these are like, this is D-list, bottom of the barrel. Like, yes. That is what The Surreal Life is. So, yeah. Okay, well, interesting. Also, I would like to know, I just want a little update, you know, on Liz and Kaya's Survivor viewing.
Kaya, you want to go first?
I haven't been watching lately.
Oh, Kaya.
I get it.
I need to get back into it, but I've been really, really busy watching, as I mentioned, Below Deck Sailing Yacht and also Real Housewives of Potomac.
Ooh. You know what I think your fatal flaw was, though, was watching it in order. I've been watching the hits and I'm like still probably drawn in, you know?
That's true. I saw it all.
Yeah, right. I just finished, my brother's back from school, so I'm back in it.
Nice.
I just finished season 18, Tonkatins, with
Tokachins, yeah.
Tokachins, sorry. Some of the most iconic players I've ever seen. That's my favorite season by far, Amelia.
Yes! Like,
oh my God, Kaya, if you need something to draw you back in, you might want to try that season, honestly.
Good to know.
The best characters, the most satisfying, just like start to finish. Oh my God, I'm obsessed. And now, Amelia, I'm curious what you think about this trajectory. Yeah. Now I've gone back to season two, the Australian Outback.
Oh, wow.
Colby.
Yes, I'm trying to basically just get to season 20, Heroes versus Villains. And I've been trying to research what players go into that season. Trying to do it in a smart way, but
I get it.
The quality of the actual episode.
It's pretty bad.
Really tough.
It's pretty bad, yeah.
That's where I'm at. I'm still going strong.
I do want to get into it, back into it, before the new season premieres.
Yes. Because the three of us are going to have a ball.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
I'm really excited to like watch along with everybody and participate in the collective Survivor fan base.
Yes.
And not me like Google or like searching on Twitter like Coach Survivor and like looking at tweets from like 10 years ago trying to find what people were saying.
And also risking being spoiled every time I try to like Google information about people.
Right. Yeah.
I know.
Out there.
Yeah.
It is hard.
Okay, good. Let us know if you jump back in.
Oh, I absolutely will.
All right. Next category. The last one is Tea Time's unanswerable questions. Oh, this is a really funny one. We have some questionable things to start with, Amelia.
Yes, I want to know if people will remake John Dillerman for American Children. And if you don't know who or what John Dillerman is.
I didn't.
Neither did I up until recently. Yeah, they did a Last Week Tonight special, like little one-off about him. And he is a Danish kids television show where it just features this man named John Dillerman who uses his penis to solve problems. And it's just like his dick. And it's just like, I'm solving a problem with my penis. And apparently the name John Dillerman is like, if you were going to say like John Johnson, like Diller is a another way. It's a slang term for penis.
Okay.
Yeah. And apparently it's very popular with children in Denmark. And yeah, I don't know if you guys watched that segment, but
I did.
I did. This hid in the outline all week. I saw this question. Normally, sometimes when we ask each other questions, I don't research and we just all talk it through.
Sure.
Thank God I clicked on this because I don't think I would have like fully understood how insane the TV show was, the animation of it, the like, you know, how it saves children from like a burning.
He just really uses it for everything.
He's a hero. Yeah. Not all heroes need capes. Sometimes they need dicks.
Yeah, it's wild. I will put it somewhere, I'm assuming. So, or like, just go look it up. You have to see it for yourself. It's one of those things. Yeah. The answer is I don't think they will remake this for American Television.
Everyone's not.
Damn it. Yeah.
People are too prudish here.
It's true. Yeah. It's true.
Okay, so while we're on this reality TV-centered episode, I have a question for you both. Because if Page Six recirculates this article, Erica Jane lugs her own groceries amid financial woes, I might kill myself. Can one of you explain what is going on and who Erica Jane is?
Amelia, I think this is all you.
Yes, so Erica Jane is... She's very rich. That is definitely true. She definitely was. She was one of the Real Housewives of Beverly Hills. And it's funny because she made a whole point to being like, I'm really rich, so I do glam. And like, so she always is wearing these very elaborate outfits, very fashion forward. And she's always in name brands and whatnot. And she's married I guess she's getting a divorce now, to Tom Girardi, who is this really high-powered LA lawyer. And she, I think she's like maybe 50 around that age, and he's like 80. And
she's 50?
I'm pretty sure she's
she is. I just saw it in this.
Wow. Article. She looks great. Props
to her. She's gorgeous. But it's funny because like one of the things that people have been talking about now that they've been outed as like siphoning money off of these victims is she has a clip where she's on Watch What Happens Live, which is one of those shows on Bravo where they take all the housewives and they bring them on once in a while. And she was like, yeah, my glam squad costs $40,000 a month. And so she's like outright saying how much money things cost to make her look so good and whatnot. And Tom is this high-powered lawyer who has won all these like really big cases. Like
he was involved in the Aaron Brockovich.
The Aaron Brock,
Oh wow.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, but the thing is he has been taking money from the victims of his cases.
It's so he like, wins oh, these like huge yeah. settlements for victims, like also for that like Lion Air like plane that disappeared, and he won like ginormous settlements for the victims, and then just like does not give them their settlement money.
It's wow, and, it's really fucked yeah. up,
really wow. really terrible.
Okay, so now she's going through financial woes, as page six tells me so, every single day.
Right. And she basically, so they filed for divorce like what, a year ago, Amelia?
Yeah, I think it was November of 2020. So like less than a year ago. Yeah.
And she is maintaining that she did not know what that, her husband was doing.
Oh. That is such a lie. That is such a lie. It's mm-hmm. I just, mm-hmm. It's not good. It's really, it's bad. And then she came out with this whole claim, like she was like, Tom is cheating on me. And then she had some weird like tracker phone image and this woman that she claimed was cheating on or was her husband was cheating on her with was like, I don't know who these people are. Like, get this woman away from me. So oh it's all gosh. Very suspect. Yeah. And the thing is like, if you're not married to someone who's like getting sued in court or whatever, you can hide assets. So that's mm-hmm. the whole thing, is that like she's hiding the assets so they don't have to end up paying for it. That's like allegedly that's what is happening. So mm-hmm. it's wow, yeah, it's very convoluted and like you know, yikes.
And now she's on this current season of Real Housewives of Beverly Hills, and all the other housewives are like, so what's up? Did you know?
Oh my God.
I know. And there's this clip of her that went viral where she's like saying no, but at the same time shaking her head yes. Oh. Looks like what it looks like.
It's so
every
fucked
day
up.
God calls me closer to the Real Housewives franchise. Liz. I one Liz. Of these days.
Oh gotta God. Do it. You gotta one do it.
One of these days.
You do. Well,
thank you for clearing that up. I really appreciate it.
Yeah, it's good. It's good stuff.
Okay. Last question.
Last question. Just keeping with the reality TV theme. I don't think Kate will ever listen to this episode.
No.
So between Sexy Beasts,
wow.
Too Hot to Handle, and the Celebrity Dating Game, which one of those would you like to go on as a contestant?
So I think the thing that stresses me out about Sexy Beasts is after they reveal their real everything. Face, everyone is like, oh shit, wow, you look so... And if you get anything but that reaction, I would jump off of a cliff. So I think like everyone would be like, oh, hey, Liz. Like I would legitimately not be able to live another day. So oh it cannot God. Be Sexy Beast. It cannot. The reveal would murder me.
Okay.
Also just like the entire premise of the show.
I mean, sure, that as well. But
and also like, can you imagine what all of that prosthetics like does to your skin?
Oh, my skin. Yeah,
oh
I know.
Oh my God.
Amelia, oh do you God. Have thoughts on this?
No, but you have to choose the one you would want to go on, Liz. You're not getting out of this.
And the premise of Too Hot to Handle is...
It's I'm over Too Hot to Handle. Like, season one was fine. I enjoyed it, I guess. Oh, but it's just like, ugh.
You remain celibate. Okay, yeah, I'll yes. do that one. That's fine.
Okay. Wait, Liz, have you never seen Too Hot to Handle?
No, I know. Oh. I haven't.
It's okay. It's the first season was fine. Yeah, it's fine. I'm honestly, I feel like the Celebrity Dating Game, which is like, you could just sit there and then yeah. like, you know.
I feel like out of all three, that would be like the least degrading experience.
Yeah.
Right.
Agreed.
That's the thing, right? Agreed. What if the viewers are like, she is not too hot. I can handle it because she's not too hot. So maybe I will choose Celebrity Dating
Game.
Well,
in Too Hot to Handle is there is like this little robot thing called, I can't oh. remember the name of it.
It's like Alexa, but it's not. Yeah,
yeah, it's like Alexa, but the robot like snitches on you if you like oh, end up kissing someone.
She's such a bitch. Yeah.
Oh my God, that's so funny. Yeah, that wouldn't be a problem for me. Mostly just the ego. Okay. Well, Kate, you're right. We'll never listen to this, but we miss you just in case you do. And thank you, Kaya, who's producing and editing this and then yes. also subbed in like a hero.
No truly. Problem.
So thank you to Kaya.
It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Kev, if you're listening to this. We really appreciate you having you on. Thanks for listening. I'm Liz Kelly.
I'm Kaya McMullen.
And I'm Amelia Lottemeyer.